Hallelujah. Jesus is here this morning. Amen. And he's ready to move in every life this morning in power. And he's ready to rescue. Can you feel the Lord's presence here this morning, whether you've been here every Sunday or you're here for the first time? Jesus is here. Amen. Amen. And we give him all the glory. I stand before you this morning because of him and for him. 19 years ago, Jesus saved me when I was 18 years old. I'm just going to get right into it because I feel like there's no need for introductions. We're just here for Jesus, right? We're not here for me. And so I honor you, Richard and Jolene, for going after the things of the Holy Spirit, his presence, his power. It's here, and that's what we need, right? We need the real presence and power of God touching us. Amen. So 19 years ago, when I was 18 years old, Jesus saved me. I grew up in a Christian home where my mom read Bible to me. She took me to church. I believed in Jesus. I believed in what he did for me on the cross. But then I went to high school and I started doing what the people around me were doing. I started smoking. I started drinking and partying and clubbing on weekends and getting involved with many different men. I started taking drugs and I didn't know who I am on the inside. I didn't know what life is all about. The devil came and he stole my innocence, my value, my purpose, my confidence. I remember when I was alone at home at times when I felt empty or depressed or even just bored, I would cut myself because that's what the people around me were doing. I didn't know who I am on the inside. My life was on a pathway of destruction. I was lost in my sin, on my way to hell. This went on for a number of years. And then when I was 18 years old, one Sunday evening after the boyfriend at the time broke up with me earlier that day, I didn't want to be alone that night. And so that evening when my mom said, come with us to church, I went with him for the first time in years again. And that night, I met Jesus. It was like this overwhelming life flooded me on the inside. And I knew this is Jesus and that he's real. You know, like some of you have been experiencing this morning, the realness, the life of Jesus. And I don't remember exactly what happened in that moment, but I know now that's the night everything in my life changed. That's the night I became born again, like the Bible speaks of being born again. Jesus came from the outside to the inside of me, and that's when everything changes, when Jesus comes from the outside to the inside of your heart. I said something like, Jesus, forgive me for all the stuff I've been doing. They did an altar call like I'm going to do one this morning. And every one of you who need Jesus to come live on the inside of your heart, I responded to that altar call that morning, that evening. And I said something like, Jesus, forgive me for all the stuff I've been doing. You know, Jesus, he doesn't just come and forgive the actions and the thoughts of sin, but he rips out the root of sin that we've all been born with. And he nailed it to that cross. And he came to live on the inside of me that day, filling me with life, with eternal life, with Jesus himself. And it's been 19 years now that I have the life of Jesus living on the inside of me, that I have him restoring my innocence, my value. He's given me life. And more than all of that, I know him, right? I get to know Jesus daily for eternity now. So freely I received Jesus 19 years ago. I didn't earn it in any way. And now freely, I get to give Jesus to the people around me. And if you are here this morning and you are born again, and if not, you will be by the end of this service. But if you are here and you are born again, then really the core of all of our testimony is the same. It is that once we were lost in our sin, on our way to hell, whether it was a month or 20 years ago, and then we met Jesus. He forgave our sin, washed us clean on the inside, and he came to live on the inside of us with eternal life. And now freely you have received Jesus at some point in your life. And freely you get to give him to your work colleague that's not yet born again. I hope that man Vipia is speaking of is born again. I hope he knows that Jesus, I hope Jesus is living on the inside of his heart. Freely you have received Jesus. Now freely you get to give him to your exercise buddies, to your neighbors who are not yet born again. You see, Luke 19 verse 10 tells us the whole reason Jesus came to this earth, the whole reason he died on that cross was what? To seek and to save the lost. That's the reason. That's the mission. And so when we get born again, we get born of Jesus, right? And so we get the same DNA as Jesus. The same mission, same purpose. If you're wondering what your purpose, what your mission is, there's one main mission, and it is the seeking and the saving of the lost. Amen? And right now, God is awakening His church globally again. Believers everywhere, young and old. He is awakening the church again globally to look outside me, myself, and I, my ambitions, my day-to-day routine, my struggles, my church program, and to look again to the lost. People drowning in sin on their way to hell, and to actively start preaching the gospel that saves, and to lead them to their Father, to Jesus, to reconcile them back to their Father. Amen? So freely you've received Him, freely give Him to the people around you. It's an exciting time to be alive right now. If you're wondering why there's all this evangelism trainings and outreaches and activations taking place, it's because this is what the Lord is busy with. This is not what Shofar Franz Hook is busy with. This is what Jesus is busy with. He's bringing in His end time harvest, and He's calling all believers to become active again, to run the race with endurance so we can take many with us to Jesus one day. Everywhere there's testimonies. If you don't know, let me share just a few with you. Of people coming to salvation, of believers saying, just equip me again with how to share the simple gospel that saves. I don't know how to share it with people. And people are going out to the streets and seeing the masses come to salvation right now. I shared this with some of you that were here at the training, but you can just put up that pictures, please, Abigail. This is Christ for All Nations going into the schools all across the globe, but in South Africa right now, preaching the gospel with a vision of seeing 1 million youth give their lives to Jesus. They've already seen a couple of 100,000 right here in South Africa. Hallelujah. If you go to the next picture, earlier this year in February, we had teams from all across the world preaching the gospel right here in Cape Town behind the airport in Valhalla Park. You maybe don't know, but for 3 weeks, they preached the gospel in communities, in schools, in taxi ranks, in malls. Next picture. At the UCT campus, to people that are hard and stubborn of heart, they heard the gospel. Next picture. The streets of Stellenbosch at the nightclubs. Next picture. There across from the clubs. Next picture. People giving their lives to Jesus right there in front of the clubs while they're partying and drinking. Next picture. And yesterday, right here in Franz Hook, about 50 of us went out here in the streets, in the marketplace, and in less than an hour, just by sharing the simple gospel that saves, we saw 34 people make a decision to open their heart to Jesus and to follow Him. Amen. 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 One of the teams yesterday, they approached a married couple here and started sharing the love of Christ with this couple. The couple said to them, we're actually breaking away from a very difficult situation in our life right now. We've come to Franz Hook to just get away from it. And as they were sharing the love of Jesus with this couple, they were teary because they knew this is Jesus meeting them, knowing what they're going through. And they opened their lives to Jesus yesterday. Jesus knows what you are going through. Jesus is ready to save you this morning. The harvest is ready. People are ready to receive Jesus. And us as believers, we are the ones that have been called to preach the gospel, to become bold again at preaching the simple gospel. I believe the Lord is calling you, Franz Hook. This is a word for you specifically, to the bold proclamation of the gospel again that saves. You see, in Mark 16, verse 15, Jesus is speaking to all His followers. If you're a follower of Jesus, then this is Him speaking to you. In Mark 16, verse 15, He says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. You're wondering what your mission is? This is the main mission. This is the great commission. Not a great suggestion. Go into all of Franz Hook, share the gospel with every person you meet with. That's what it's saying, right? And if we're not actively doing this, you're living in disobedience to your commanding officer, Jesus. And if you're wondering why you maybe are a bit sleepy or discouraged in your walk with the Lord, in your journey with Him right now, it's not going to change, I believe, through more church services or worship services. It's going to change when you start becoming active again in sharing your faith, in sharing the gospel. You see, the gospel wants to wake you up. The world wants to put you to sleep. I've never met one person who actively shares their faith that is sleepy or discouraged in their walk with the Lord. Because you see, you need intimacy with Jesus daily, but you also need outflow daily. You need to be actively sharing Him, seeing Him work in power through your life. Amen. 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 And so in Matthew 9, verse 37 to 38, this is Jesus again speaking, and He says, "Truly I tell you, the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out more laborers into the harvest fields." And so who's this harvest that this verse is speaking of? It's the people out there who need Jesus, right? The harvest is not when you go on some mission trip to a poorer community once a week in every 2 years and you boldly preach the gospel and then you go back to your daily life and you become as silent again in your workplace and you close your mouth. No, the harvest is the person that you sit next to every day at your work colleague that doesn't know Jesus, your neighbor who doesn't know Jesus, the cashier that you pay for your groceries at regularly that's not yet born again. This is the harvest that this verse is speaking of right here. If you go out, you'll meet someone within 2 minutes that needs Jesus. This is the harvest that truly is great, that's ready. But the laborers are few. Who's these laborers? Us. But why are they few? It's saying those of us who choose, who have freely received Jesus, but choose to intentionally, this is the most intentional thing I do, it doesn't just happen, because all powers of darkness are coming against us when we do this. It's the most intentional thing you can do. Those who freely have received, but choose to freely, actively share it with the people around them and reconcile them back to the Father, share the gospel, a few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out more laborers. And so my prayer this morning, I'm going to pray in a moment, is that the Holy Spirit would come and make us all active again this morning in the harvest fields by the fire of the Holy Spirit, not by you mustering up your will for a day or two, by the fire and power of the Holy Spirit. And so as I pray now, give Him your desire to become active again. Give Him your desire, become hungry for the Holy Spirit to come and fill you with a fire this morning. And so Holy Spirit, I thank You that You say people are ready to receive You, Jesus, for the weight of sin to be lifted off of them, to receive freedom. The harvest is ready, but the laborers are few. And so I ask You, Holy Spirit, to sound the call through my voice right now for laborers in this place. Who will be a laborer again in my harvest fields? Who will say yes? And so, Holy Spirit, I pray right now that You come and breathe a fire in every heart right now, that You would come and stir their hearts with a passion for the lost again, with urgency for the lost again, and that You would raise up laborers in this place, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm only getting started. My goal this morning is not to give you a wonderful teaching of the gospel, but I'm here to tell you that the gospel works when you preach it. You see, when I put my key in my car and I turn it in the mornings, it works. It gets me from my point A to point B. I, for 19 years, have been turning that key in the ignition and it drives. For 19 years, I don't know how the mechanics works under the bonnet at all. I have no idea, but I know it works. In the same way, the gospel works. I know it works when you preach it. Amen? And so my goal is that you would put your faith in the gospel that was once powerful enough to save you, number one, and number two, to activate and equip you to share it with the people around you. Amen? Okay, so I'm going to share a testimony with you, and through this testimony, it will stir your faith in the power of the gospel. But I'm also going to give you a tool of how to share it with people. Because so many of us, if I interview you, you don't really know how to give it to the people around you. So I want to make sure that you're not just stirred this morning, but that you're equipped. Amen. So At the end of last year, I was sitting in Vida coffee shop with a friend, and while we're sitting there, a businessman in his 30s comes to sit at the table next to us, this clean-cut businessman-looking person, and Jesus, Holy Spirit, tugs on my heart, and he says, go share my love with that man. And so after a few minutes, when he looks like he's about to leave, I get up, I go to him, and I say, hello, my name's Nastasha, what's your name? Werner. Werner, while I'm sitting here, I just feel Jesus notices you today. He loves you so much. He's got a plan for your life. And Werner looks at me, he says, you have no idea. I'm sitting here right now, and I feel so all out. Like, I just feel like at an end right now. That's why I'm sitting here. And I ask him, can we sit? We sit for 40 minutes. We share. He shares. And as he's sharing, he's telling us about his life. He says he grew up in a good home, but when he was 9 years old, his parents got divorced. And just before his dad got on a plane to Australia, his dad said to him, I'll see you in a few months' time. But he didn't see his dad in years. And to this day, they still have practically no relationship. When he was about 18 years old, he felt so empty and depressed that he took a gun, he put it in his mouth. And just before he was about to pull the trigger, he called his mother, and his mother sent him to a rehab. A few years later, he was out clubbing like he did on weekends. And when he returned to his car in the early hours of the morning, there were people ready to hijack his car. Just before, as they were hijacking his car, he says it felt like half of his body was possessed by the devil and the other half was possessed by Jesus. He can't explain it. He's currently married, and in the evenings when his wife is asleep, he's sitting playing computer games and smoking weed just to escape the pressures and the emptiness of life. And while he's sharing this with me, the power of the gospel begins to rise up inside of me. And I say to him, Werner, you know what you need? You're 90% there of giving up today. But I need you to not leave this table and think that somehow you're going to put together the broken pieces of your life. I need you to give up today and to ask Jesus for what he's done for you on the cross. You see, Jesus wants to come and rip out every sin, every depression, every emptiness, every brokenness. Your broken marriage, he wants to rip it all out, nail it to that cross, and he wants to fill you with life right now. He wants to fill you with love, 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 the love you didn't have growing up, love, until you have so much love inside of you from Jesus that it's too much for you to contain, and it starts to go to the people around you. That's what Jesus wants to do for you this morning. Do you want to receive what he's done for you on the cross? And he says, yes, and we sit there and we pray together as the miracle of salvation takes place in Werner. And after we pray, you know what happens? He opens his eyes and there's life, there's hope. And I say, what are you experiencing right now, Werner? He says, hope. This is the hope of the gospel. This is the power of the gospel that every one of you have wherever we are in our daily lives. Is it rising up inside of you when you met with the broken pieces of people's lives? This is the solution. The gospel is not a religion. It's a solution. Amen? Not just for this life, but for eternity. We don't know if we have the next day, the next hour even guaranteed. But if we have Jesus in our hearts, we just keep living with him for eternity. There's a guarantee. It's his call on the name of Jesus this morning, and he will save you for eternity. Amen. Now, what is the simple gospel that every one of us have? If you have to sum it up real simply, not as a teaching, what can you give away when you give away the gospel? I taught it this weekend, but I want to give it to you right now. If this is all you remember as a believer and you're going out into your workplace tomorrow, this is how you can share it. The gospel is a solution, right? But for there to be a solution, there's a problem. If people don't know there's a problem, they don't want the solution. You're preaching for no reason. I mean, you need to point out if they don't know it already, there's a problem. Okay, so the problem summed up in 2 points. Number one is what? What's the problem? Sin. There is an effect number one of sin in people's lives right now. For Werner, it was depression, emptiness, suicide, brokenness, loneliness. And so that's a problem, right? Everyone can see that's a problem. He needs saving from. Number two. What's the problem, number two? Yes, say that louder. Eternity in hell. The greater problem is you will be lost in your sin for eternity on your way to hell. Now, no one wants to speak about this, right? The devil tries his best to tell people there is no hell, there is no eternity. Why? He doesn't want people to know. We need to point it out to people. We know there's an eternity. We're living for eternity. Amen? What's the solution? Number one. What's the solution? Amen. I'll give you a verse. John 1:29. John the Baptist introduces Jesus to the people in one sentence. What does he tell them about this Jesus? He says, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Jesus came to forgive sin. Number one, I offer you forgiveness of sin. He's here to remove our sins from us as far as the east is from the west, to cancel out the whole record of sin, all the guilt, all the shame, takes it away by dying on that cross. It tells us in Acts 13, verse 38, through this Jesus, forgiveness of sin is offered to you today. Jesus doesn't just come and forgive your sin. No, he comes to destroy sin and all its effects in your life. He removes the power of sin from our lives. Amen. And when all the sin is out through Jesus, the miracle of salvation, number two, what happens? Okay, let me help you with a verse. John 3:16. Eternal life. For God so loved the world that he sent his son Jesus, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. The gospel summed up that you have in two points is Jesus is ready to forgive all your sins right now and to fill you with eternal life. Do you want it? Let's pray. Everyone can do that, right? A child can do that. That's the gospel. Now, eternal life is more than just when my physical body dies, I get to be with Jesus for eternity. No, Jesus tells us in John 17, verse 3, Jesus says, eternal life is this, to know the one true God and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. Eternal life is from the day the miracle of salvation happens. All my sin is washed away. I can stand before God innocently, and I can know him daily. Daily I have access to his peace, to his love, to his guiding me, to his voice, to his joy. Daily I have eternal life when he comes to live on the inside of me for eternity. Amen. This is the gospel. So let's just check if we remembered. What are we offering people? What is the solution? What is the gospel? Number one, forgiveness of sin. Sin out. Number two, eternal life. Do you want it? Let's pray. Right? It's not difficult. You're just turning the key in the ignition and he does all the work. Amen? Amen. The Holy Spirit is bringing a fresh revelation, I believe, of the simple gospel this morning. He's giving you those aha moments. This is the gospel, and putting our faith again in the simple gospel. Amen. Now, where do you spend most of your time? Most of you, from Monday to Friday. At work, right? Who here goes to work every day? Most of you. So this is your main mission field, right? This is your main mission field. This is where you meet people every day that don't know Jesus. I've been born again now for 19 years. For the first 12 years of having a desire to share Jesus with the people around me at my workplace, I would drive to work as a chartered accountant in the mornings, praying every day, Holy Spirit, give me boldness to share with the people around me. Give me divine appointments. And I would get to work and my focus would shift to my job list, and I would do my work excellently, only to return home in the evenings feeling disappointed, like my day just looked like everyone else's, and I didn't share Jesus with anyone around me. It was until 2017 that I had a baptism of fire. I don't know exactly what happened, but the Holy Spirit knocked me over and he came and filled me with the power, with the activation, like he's going to do this morning. Amen. And I started approaching people on the street, praying for them, and I started doing again what the Bible tells us to do, to share the gospel, to share my testimony at work, to pray for the sick. And I just started having a focus shift at my work. This is the main mission. This is why I'm here. And this morning, the Holy Spirit is bringing that shift in focus. This is the main mission. This is why I'm at my workplace. And I saw many people come to salvation, many people healed in that workplace in East London where I was living. But I'm going to share one testimony with you real quick, because I believe many of us need like an example. What does it look like in the workplace, right? And so this is a story of, are you okay with another story, a testimony? So this is a story of a lady named Joanna. She started working there shortly after I did in the finance department with me. And she's an Australian. And on the first day I met her in the kitchen, I shared the gospel with her. Active, intentional, right? And about a week or two later, she comes to me. She tells me, I'm struggling with, I think it was stomach issues that day. And so I say to her, come, Joanna, let's go to the bathroom. I'm going to pray for you. And so I put my hands on her. I pray for her. I'm expecting the power of God to touch her in that moment. And he does. His presence comes and he touches her. And she starts experiencing healing and peace and stuff happening on the inside. She's laughing and crying and hugging me and saying, this is amazing. She hugs me and she leaves. About 2 weeks later, Joanna comes to me again. And she says, I've got migraines. Terrible migraines. Please, can you pray for me? We go to the bathroom. I put my hands on her. The Holy Spirit power touches Joanna again, and he starts touching her body, healing her, filling her with his peace and his love. And she's laughing and crying and hugging me. And there she goes again. And this went on about every 2 weeks for a long time. Joanna would come to me for prayer. I would pray for her, and the Holy Spirit would touch her. She became addicted to the presence of God in me. Amen. There's rivers of life living on the inside of you. Do the people at work get to experience it? I then invited her to a Ladies Awaken conference. And at the end of the event, I turned to her. I decide to intentionally share again my born-again testimony. I share the gospel with Joanna again. I say, do you want Jesus to come live in your heart today? She says, I'm not ready yet, but Nastasha, you'll be the first to know when I am. Few months later, get a message from Joanna, can we go for coffee? I know this is the day. And so I don't wait for her to tell me. I start preaching the gospel for a third time to Joanna. And that day, she becomes born again and she receives Jesus in her heart. Hallelujah. I don't know where I am now, but I'm excited. This is the gospel that we have. The Holy Spirit is tugging on our hearts every day in our workplace. Pray for that one. Share the gospel with that one. Expect him to move. Shift your focus at your workplace. We're called to be active laborers in the harvest fields of our work. We're not called to be bucket Christians. You know what a bucket Christian is? I call it a bucket Christian, a basket Christian, whatever. Matthew 5 talks of we're a city on a hill, we're a lamp on a stand, a light for everyone to see Jesus, right? But then it says, don't put a basket or a bucket on your head. What does it help? You blend in your workplace and you look like just everyone else while all the powers of darkness are raging in people's homes and hearts. If you're a born-again believer, I've got news for you. You're not going to blend in your workplace. You're going to stand out because why? You're going to pray for the sick and they're going to get healed. There's going to be some eyes looking at what's going on. You're going to be standing in the passages, in the boardrooms, in the bathrooms, in the parking lot, praying for people. People are going to come to salvation. One day, a lady bursts into my office after I prayed for her, and she was healed from chronic, very bad insomnia. She says, I slept 12 hours last night through my alarm. And she tells the whole office, if you need prayer, ask Nastasha for prayer. There's no blending in when you are a light, a city on a hill. Amen? The Holy Spirit, he's the one who does the work. He's the light. He's the fire. We just need to say, Holy Spirit, come and activate me again this morning. Fill me with fresh fire this morning. Make me a laborer. Put me back on the main mission. Remove the weights that have entangled me, the daily life stuff. Are you ready for the Holy Spirit to come and do a work in your heart this morning? To come and activate every one of us? Amen. Amen. I'm going to share one more story with you, and then we're going to do some praying, and the Holy Spirit, I know, is ready to save and to work in our hearts today. Now, this is a testimony that I have to share with you. You see, I go out and I pray for many people on the streets. I meet with them and in the shops and wherever I am, wherever these people, I go to them and I share Jesus. And sometimes I only get to see 5 minutes of what happened in that moment. I don't see the rest, right? But one day I believe in heaven I will. But sometimes I get to see a bigger picture. And it stirs my faith of what Jesus did with those 5 minutes. And so I want to share one testimony like that with you to stir your faith of what's powerful when you start preaching the gospel again, when you freely share what you freely received. And so this is the story of Albert. In, I think it was the end of 2019, I went jogging one Friday evening. And as I was jogging, I ran past this young man, I think 19 or 20 years old, with his long curly hair, with his black hoodie on, and the Holy Spirit tugs on my heart. You know how he tugs on your heart wherever you go, right? He tugs on my heart, and I've come to know when he tugs, I obey, because there's too much happening in that moment that I obey. I can't not. I can't not obey. I've seen too much. And so I turn back, and I go to Albert. I didn't know him at that stage. I say, hello, what's your name? I'm Nastasha. Albert. Albert, I just feel Jesus loves you so much as I'm running past you. He notices you today. He's got a plan for your life. Albert says, no way, man. I've been in the last 2 weeks just open to whatever God there is out there, and now you come to me. I'm like, that's amazing. Can I share with you what Jesus did in my life real quick? And so I share my born-again testimony with him. And as I'm sharing what Jesus did in my life, like I shared with you in the beginning, the Holy Spirit starts to convict Albert. You know, he starts working in his heart like he's working in hearts here, right here this morning. And Albert blurts out, he says, well, I don't know what the purpose is for my life. You know, sometimes people say weird things when the Holy Spirit is touching them. But the Holy Spirit starts working. And I say to him, well, Albert, if Jesus were here in person right now, you could just ask him what's the purpose for your life, right? And I say, I've got news for you. He is here right now because he lives inside of me. Let's ask him and he will likely tell you. And so now we're taking a step of faith, right, that he's going to speak. and so I pray and I say, Lord, what's the purpose with Albert? Why did you make him? And immediately this picture pops in my head. I don't know why Jesus shows me this picture, but I just go along with it. And I say, hey, Albert, I see you playing in a band, and you're the singer. He's like, no way, man. Me and my friends, we just started a band. I'm like, are you the singer in the band? He says, yes. I'm like, that's amazing. And and again, the Holy Spirit convicts him because, you know, this is proof God knows him specifically, that the Jesus I'm talking about is the real Jesus, right? How can I know this about him unless God himself revealed it? And so again, Albert blurts out and he says, I don't know how to live out God's plans for my life. And again, the Holy Spirit starts working. When you just take one step, you turn back, the Holy Spirit does the rest of the work. The Holy Spirit starts speaking again, and I say, well, Albert, you know what? Unless God himself comes to live on the inside of you and live his plans out through you, you can't live out God's plans for your life. And the only way God can come and live on the inside of you is by sin coming out. You know, you need to get rid of sin. And the only way sin can come out is if you ask Jesus for what he's done for you on the cross. You ask him, and I start sharing the gospel. Ask him to forgive you your sin right now. Ask him to come live in your heart and follow Jesus from today. Do you want that, Albert? And he says, yes. And we pray together, and Albert receives Jesus as his Savior that day. And I take his number. We stayed in the same estate at that stage. And he came to visit my husband and I. He joined our small group for a short time. I didn't know this, but Albert was struggling with drug abuse, with substance abuse, with also depression, anger issues, relational issues with his family. Jesus set him free from all of that in that moment that he got born again. A few weeks later, after Albert received Jesus as his Lord and Savior, you can put up that picture. Albert gets baptized. That's my husband baptizing Albert. There we go. Hallelujah. The Lord sends, starts sending more people at the Stellenbosch University campus, more Christians to disciple Albert, and he starts actively sharing his faith with other people at university, his old friends, with his family members. He even goes out in his free time and just goes out into the streets, shares the gospel with people, because freely he's received Jesus, and now freely he's giving Jesus to the people around him. Hallelujah. In the beginning of, I think it was 2022, Albert gets married to an amazing Christian woman who I have the privilege of now knowing. Her name's Kristen. There Albert is without his hair. And next picture. Albert and Kristen there on the right, they join our outreach teams regularly, going out onto the streets of Stellenbosch, the marketplaces, wherever, sharing the gospel with people. Kristen joined, Kristen joined the CFAN School of Evangelism with 16 other people in the beginning of last year. For 8 weeks, this group of 16 people, including Kristen, relentlessly preached the gospel. Next one, there she is preaching. And after those it was 8 weeks, but 2 weeks they were actively daily preaching the gospel. And after those 2 weeks, they saw 5,004 people make decisions to follow Jesus. Hallelujah. And so isn't this a wonderful testimony of what the Lord can do when you respond in 5 minutes? I didn't do all this work. The Lord's been pursuing Albert and Kristen since the day they were born, relentlessly. And he's stirring believers' hearts all along the journey. You don't know where you're stepping into someone's life, but the Lord is working. And so if you just respond in that moment and you play just a role in that person's life, you're just the vessel for 5 minutes. Look at what the Lord has done in Albert and through Albert and Kristen. And I got to play a small part in the glorious work of Jesus and his salvation. This is a privilege. This is the greatest privilege. I had no purpose before I met Jesus. Now I get to play a role in where people spend eternity. Jesus can do it all by himself. He can show up in people's rooms. He can touch their hearts. He can preach the gospel. But he chooses to use you and I as his vessels, because it's a great privilege. Amen. Amen. So if we want to see Franz Hook saved, which is what the Lord is doing right now, he is the one pioneering this. It is harvest time. Franz Hook is ready. All of them are ready. People are ready. Don't say 4 more months and then it's harvest time. Don't say 4 more months and then that work colleague of mine is ready. No, the Lord says, open your eyes. It's harvest time right now. Preach the gospel. And if you want to see the gospel work, preach it. I'm not speaking about for the next week while you feel excited, or the next 2 months while there's evangelists coming or whatever. I'm talking about if you really want to see people saved, flooding the church, healed, lives transformed, families transformed, Franz Hook transformed by the power of the gospel, then you need to relentlessly preach it daily. Preach it daily. And as you do, as you keep going, as you run the race with endurance, throwing off every weight, preaching the gospel, taking many with you, you will see along the way salvations, healings, freedom, transformation, deliverance. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation, nothing else, the power of the cross. Amen. Amen. Now I want to speak to you a bit about the Holy Spirit, and then we're going to pray. You see, I can motivate you for this hour or however long I have, but motivation and your own decision is not necessarily going to be what's going to change the course of your life to actively preach the gospel. You see, you need the power of the Holy Spirit. And He's ready. He's ready to save and He's ready to empower you to do the work. You see, with Albert, when I was sharing with him there while we were jogging, I had 5 minutes with him. And in that time, the Holy Spirit inside of me was the one convincing him that what I'm saying is true, that this Jesus I'm speaking of is the true God. You see, I speak with my words, Holy Spirit power is working and convincing people that it's true. I can't do that. You see, after I leave Albert, I'm with him maybe for 5 minutes. Now I'm gone. But you know what? The Holy Spirit power inside of me, He stays with Albert and He keeps working and He keeps working, touching his heart, transforming his life. The Holy Spirit doesn't leave Albert. And so you need the power of the Holy Spirit inside of you to work through you as you witness. You will be a terrible witness for Jesus without the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. You see, that's why Jesus told His disciples, before you go on your mission, wait for what? For the power of the Holy Spirit. There is no way you can save, heal, or deliver without the power of the Holy Spirit. That's something humans can't do. You see, in Acts 1, verse 5, it tells us that John the Baptist, he came to baptize in water, but Jesus is the one who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. What does this word baptize mean? Baptizo in the Greek. What is he talking about? Baptizo means to immerse, to plunge, to dip. Who likes rusks? No one. Who likes rusks? Your Oma rusks, your homemade rusks? Okay. Now, what do you do with your rusk? You take it, do you throw some, sprinkle it with your coffee or your tea? No, you take it and you dip it into your coffee, right? And what happens to your rusk? The coffee starts to cover the rusk, right? And then the rusk starts to suck up the coffee like a sponge until the rusk is so saturated with that coffee. When you take the rusk out and you smell it, what does it smell like? Coffee. And when you taste it, what does it taste like? Coffee. Likewise, when the Holy Spirit fills you, comes upon you, He starts to cover you, anoint you with His power. And then you start to suck Him up. He starts to fill you on the inside like a sponge. And you become saturated with God Himself. So much so that when you go out, all people smell, taste, and see is Jesus, Holy Spirit inside of you. Amen. Now when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, He anoints you. It's not so that you can predominantly feel some nice feelings, although that's part of it, hallelujah. But when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, it tells us why is He doing this? It tells us in Isaiah 61, when the Spirit of the Lord anoints me, He anoints me to do something, to preach the gospel, to bind up the broken hearts, to set captives free, to deliver people from their darkness, to do all the things we cannot do. The Holy Spirit comes and anoints us to empower us to do something, right? Like I said, I can't, when I go out and preach the gospel, I can't convince anyone that it's true, but the Holy Spirit power inside of me is convincing people, convicting people, continuing to work. I can't heal a headache, but the Holy Spirit power inside of me starts working and healing. I can't deliver people from their disorders and their ADHD and their migraines and darkness and depression and all the things I've seen people delivered of. I can't do that. The Holy Spirit power inside of me begins to work and set them free in front of my eyes. Amen. We need the Holy Spirit. It tells us in Acts 1 verse 8 that let me just read it. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Power to enable you to be witnesses in all of Franschhoek and all of South Africa and to the ends of the world, paraphrased, right? Making it applicable to you. Amen? We need the power of the Holy Spirit. And I believe the Holy Spirit is tugging on hearts here this morning for a fresh infilling of His Spirit, for a fresh saying, I want this boldness and power to enable me to be a witness out there in Franschhoek. I need the power of God working through my life so I can see people's lives transformed and saved and healed. I need the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And so I want to ask you to stand with me. You could just start putting on some worship music softly. I don't want anyone to move right now. This is the most important part of the morning right now. Jesus is here, and He is ready to rescue you. He's ready to save you. He's ready to come into your life right now to fill your heart with Himself. He's ready. He's standing at the door, and He's knocking on the door of your heart. He wants to come in so badly. He wants to come and fill you with Himself and your home and your heart. And if you hear this morning and you say, Jesus, I need what You did for me on that cross. I need You in my life, Jesus. And you say, Jesus, like Nastasha 19 years ago, I want that miracle of salvation this morning. Like with Werner sitting in Vida, I need that hope to flood my life. I need Jesus in my life. And if that's you this morning and you say, Jesus, I want to be born again this morning. I want the miracle of salvation. Would you raise your hand to Him right now? Stretch out your hand to Jesus right now. If you say, Jesus, these hands up going all over. If you've been feeling the Jesus knocking on your heart all throughout the service, and you say, I want to let Him in. I want Him in my life. Forgive me all my sin. Would you just stretch out your hand to Jesus right now? Show Him that you want Him. You see, it tells us in the Bible that all who confess Him publicly before me, I will confess publicly before the Father. Jesus died a public death. And so when we receive Him, it is a public proclamation that we're receiving Him in our hearts. If it's you this morning that needs Jesus to come live in your heart, just show Him by stretching out your hand right now. I want to pray with you. Come to Jesus this morning. Those of you who've raised your hands, keep your hands lifted to Jesus. If you say this morning, Jesus, what You did for me on the cross, I believe it. I've known it all my life, but this morning, by faith, I want to receive the gift of salvation, the gift of eternal life. I'm not sure if I have eternal life this morning, but I want to be sure. If that's you, would you also just lift your hand up to Jesus as hands are going up all over right now? Jesus sees you. Jesus sees you, and He's ready to rescue you and your house this morning. Amen. If you hear this morning and you say, I have surrendered my life to Jesus. I've become born again at some point, but I've lost my way somewhere along the way. Or I'm living with one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom. Or there's some areas in my life right now that I know is not surrendered to Jesus. I know I'm holding on and keeping control over, but this morning, Lord, I need You to come into those areas, all areas of my life. Jesus, I want to give You 100% of my life. I want to surrender all. Would you also just stretch out your hand to Jesus right now? And I believe there's many of you that you say, Jesus, I want to give You everything this morning again. I want to surrender all. Would you also just lift up your hand to Jesus right now? I see all those hands. Amen. 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 Then I just want to make one more call. I want to make sure everyone that leaves this place has the guarantee of salvation. You see, I said in the beginning, the word tells us, it doesn't even tell us that today is the day of salvation. The word actually says, now is the day of salvation. We don't know if we have the next hour or the next day, but we can know that Jesus is living in our hearts. Call upon the name of Jesus this morning and He will rescue you. If that is you and you want to know that you are saved this morning, raise your hand to Jesus. You see, church won't save you. Your good works won't save you. Whether you have big sin or small sin in your life, all sin needs forgiveness, the blood of Jesus. And so if you want to bow your knee to Jesus, say, I've been doing all this in my own strength, working for You, Jesus, but today I also want to bow my knee and realize I need Jesus just like everyone else to save me. If that's you, would you put up your hand to Jesus right now? Amen. If you've put up your hand to Jesus, there's many hands that have gone up all over. I want to ask you to come to the front right now. Come to Jesus. We're going to pray together. If you raise your hand to Jesus, if someone is standing next to you with their hands lifted to Jesus, I want to ask you, come right now. Make your way to the front. Come to the front. Come to Jesus. We're going to pray together. And the miracle of salvation is going to fill you right now. Amen. As people are coming and making their way to the front here, I want every person, you can just turn up that music a little bit. I want every person that's still standing at their seats to turn to the person on the right and the left of them right now and ask them, do you need to be up there right now? I don't care if they look like the nicest person or you've known them all your life. I want you to turn to the person next to you, left and right of you, ask them, do you need to be up there? And if they say yes, I want you to take them by the hand and bring them to Jesus right now. Is Jesus living on the inside of your heart? I am making every effort right now to be sure. What's it going to cost you? Coming to pray a prayer, but it will save you for eternity. Amen. If you're not sure he's living on the inside of your heart, look at your heart right now. If Jesus is not there, or if you're not sure, we're going to pray together. Jesus is ready to step into your heart. I want you to come to the front right now. Amen. 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 I believe there's one more lady, one more person that needs to be up here. I want to be sure. You can be sure. If Jesus is knocking on your heart like this, and you would know, I want you to respond to him. Come, we're going to pray together. Your heart is racing like crazy right now, like mine was 19 years ago. I want you to come to Jesus. Amen. What we're going to do is we're going to pray a prayer right now where we're going to receive by faith what Jesus did for us on that cross. And the miracle of salvation is going to take place in every heart right now. Amen. So I want you to pray with me this prayer. You see, it's happening in your heart right now, but we pray with our words, we confess with our mouth. And so look at Jesus right now and say, Jesus, I want everyone to pray this loudly with me. Say, Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God and that you died on that cross for my sin. And you rose again and you're alive today, Jesus. Jesus, I ask you right now, forgive me all my sin. Wash me clean with your blood. Thank you, Jesus. Save me now. Thank you, Jesus. Come live in my heart today, Jesus. Fill me with your spirit. Today I give you my whole life, Jesus. Come on, pray this with me. I surrender everything to you today. Come into all parts of my heart and my life today. I give you my life. I give you everything. I surrender all in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just thank Jesus. Let's praise Jesus. Let's just give a clap. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. There's going to be some people coming to you right now. They're just going to come and take your contact details. We would love to connect with you, to walk a road with you, to get to know you, to help you to take the next step in following Jesus with everything in you. Amen. And so if those ministry facilitators can just quickly make their way, we would love to have you at the Wednesday evening. And walk a road with you. Jesus has just come into your heart. And to truly follow him, we need to be planted in a church with other believers coming alongside of us and seeing the transformative power work in your lives. Amen. Amen. I don't want anyone to leave where the service is not done. The Holy Spirit wants to come and do a work in hearts here this morning to fill us with a power and a boldness. And so, if you are hungry for the Holy Spirit, I want you to stay. I want to pray with you. If we can just close the doors at the back there. I don't want to lose focus and just turn up that worship music. Let's just worship the Lord. Can you turn that up and let's just put our eyes on Him this morning.
We will fight for every soul. Come on, we give
a amen. And so I'm going to ask you, you were in front here, to just take your seats or stand at your seat for a moment. And you can just turn that down a bit. The Holy Spirit has been stirring many hearts this morning with a heart and a passion for the lost again. To set us back on course with a main mission to seek and to save the lost. To throw off every weight, everything that has caused us to shift our focus on me, my life, my ambitions, and to put a fire in us again for the lost to be saved, and to activate us, to push us out. It says He thrusts us into the harvest fields, right? But we need the fire and the power of the Holy Spirit. We need Him to come and fill us afresh, to come and activate us this morning. And so if the Holy Spirit has been activating you this morning, if He's been stirring your heart and saying, I want more of the Holy Spirit power in my life to fill me and to move through me to the people around me. You want more of the power of the Holy Spirit this morning, boldness, empowerment, and activation. I want to pray for you. Would you come to the front right now? You say, I don't want to live for myself anymore. I don't want to be an inactive laborer anymore. I want to be active for you in the harvest fields. I want to take on enemy ground and I want to take back what the enemy has stolen. You can just stand. Everyone stand. If you say, I need more of the Holy Spirit to come and empower me. If you are not seeing people saved, healed, and delivered through your life, but you say, I want to. I need the power of the Holy Spirit this morning. I want you to come to the front. I want to pray for you. God, amen. Amen. And if you are here this morning and you are hungry, you see, the Holy Spirit comes upon hunger. He looks for hunger. He's looking for who's hungry for more of my Holy Spirit. Who's hungry to be used by me. And so if you are hungry this morning or you've been hungry for years for more of the Holy Spirit, stretch out your hands right now to Jesus, the baptizer, the filler of fire and the Holy Spirit. And whatever hunger you have right now, ask Him to even increase that. Ask Him to increase your hunger for the Holy Spirit fire to fill you this morning. You can just turn up that music. Let's just worship Jesus. He's the baptizer. Ask Him right now. Say, Holy Spirit, I want you to pray with me. If you are here or you are hungry, say, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I need you. I need your fire. I need more of your power. Anoint me for the work. Activate me this morning. Send me, Holy Spirit. I receive more of your power. Baptize me, baptize me. Come upon me right now with a boldness, with a fire. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Fire. If there are some of you here in this place this morning and you want to receive your tongue, I believe there's some of you, you've been asking the Lord to receive your tongue, your prayer language. The Holy Spirit has been filling and giving people their tongue over this weekend. And so if that's you, I want to pray for you. The Holy Spirit wants you to pray in the Holy Ghost, in the Holy Spirit. Yes, Lord, we thank you for hunger. We thank you for your spirit. We thank you for your spirit. Full in the name of Jesus. More. We thank you, Lord. I just